This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The first 4 hours were simply in a moose-boosh.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
Someone wrote, what did Doug do to Maurice?
Wait, what?
Also, someone said they're a Bitcoin manager. I didn't realize there were other messages on Instagram.
I just showed you that, just like I showed you the block. Did you guys all know at home that you all could have blocked, from numbers that you have blocked, voicemails that are saved? You have to go all the way down at the end on an iPhone, at the end of all your saved voicemail messages, go all the way to the bottom. Okay, I'm going to do this with you. I'm going to my voicemail. I'm scrolling.
Don't play any of those voicemails.
I have deleted messages, and then I have blocked messages. And look at your blocked messages and see the people that you thought were out of your life. Because they have tried to get back in.
Let me see this here. Yeah. You showed me how to do this last week.
Test it out.
Voicemail, blocked messages. Oh, these are all 1-800
numbers. So you're all just getting no fun ones. I've got fun ones from people I know who I have discarded from my life at certain times for reasons. And by the way, I don't feel great about it. It's not fun to cut somebody off and to have to ghost them, but
this one's for a cruise.
I never thought I would do that either. I always thought I would be able to keep my enemies closer and just win them over and make them not be enemies anymore. But when you see the repetitiveness of somebody's attempted manipulations, you just have to ghost because there's no reasoning with those people. You know who it is. Did I make the right move?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Owen, did I make the right move?
These are all cruises.
Well, you should check some of those, see if you're missing out on a good deal.
I would have left it. I would have left it unblocked.
Why?
I think it's a good time, and I think that
in my life, to change.
Oh, those voicemails?
Yeah,
you should have left it unblocked.
Why?
Because they're funny. That's why.
No, I still can access them. That's the whole point. Yeah, I can play them for you. I'm not on the podcast.
I mean, I get the whole feeling of now I found a little buried treasure, right? That's kind of what it is now.
I'm going to play them down the road, but the problem with playing them is it's going to make me feel regret that I didn't need to go to that level, that I didn't need to break what used to be a friendship or an association, that maybe I didn't need to do it, even though I've talked to people,
I mean,
and I had to do
it. It's the same reason that I keep certain people around on my Facebook just to... I make little melodramas that I watch for myself, and I go and I read their last updates, because they're clearly... they've fallen off a deep end, and they're now just riding into the wind for...
So I got a nasty text about your tweet.
Okay.
And someone we both like and admire texted me and said, Lima victory lapping the pain of the Browns fans is not it, and I'm being serious. By the way, we're brought to you by Extend.
It's not victory lapping, trying to pounce on that. It's trying to live in reality.
These are sensitive times, Tone. You should apologize.
They are sensitive times, and I'm sorry if any of my tweets came off as a victory lap. The reason I quote tweeted...
Are you really, or are you just saying that now?
Well, I'll explain myself real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I tweeted during the show, maybe even during a conversation.
Oh, great. Glad to see you're paying attention to things.
I tweeted a quote tweet from June 28th. Mm. And I wrote back then.
It was the day after my birthday.
And that's why I wrote it.
Happy birthday.
I hope Bulldog, in quotes, litigator Jeffrey Kessler has a better defense today for Watson, because that was a hearing day, than, quote, but what about Robert Kraft? Because if that's it, the Browns are screwed. And I came back to that today because it's looking more and more like the Browns are screwed, at least for a while. I don't think this is going to end the Browns. I remember what Bill Simmons on his podcast, and we played that. He said this is the worst trade in NFL history.
Why?
It's not going to be the worst trade in NFL history because Watson is going to play. They're not going to cut him. They're not going to trade him. The NFL is not going to ban him. He's going to be allowed to play football again. Does anybody disagree? I'm not hearing anybody say otherwise. I'm not hearing anybody say otherwise. So it's not going to be the worst trade ever, but it is a compromise trade if you lose a year, part of most of a year of him. I don't think it's a compromise trade if they lose the whole year because they still get 5 years. It sucks because it's you're done with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
That strength that no one's ever had before or in a long time is gone. It just is. And I think they misused both of them. I mean, the fact that you had both of them and got minimal success with them both in games. You really did. How many games were you like, thank God we got both these guys. What an advantage.
Not at the same time. Yeah, there were games that Nick Chubb was hurt, and we were like, thank God we have Kareem Hunt as well.
True, but it was never the menacing advantage that we thought it was going to be. And now it's done after this year. Kareem Hunt is going to be gone. He's going to, if he has a good year, he's going to get a nice contract somewhere else. Even despite the fact that the value of that position has been diminished, and somehow receivers are getting huge deals all over the place. But it's not a victory lap. It was the attempt all along to get people to be in reality that the NFL almost never loses these things. Keep your eye on the prize. It's why, looking back, Deshaun Watson got really bad advice. He should have settled those cases with the women. HBO doesn't come out. New York Times doesn't come out. It's over because they would have signed confidentiality deals. I know that's come up a bunch, but that's how a settlement works. I know Jerry Jones, that didn't help him years later. But all those women are not doing a special with HBO. Jenny Vrentis would have had nobody to talk to, so her investigation is over. And that's how a lot of these investigation ends. And yes, he still would have gotten penalized, of course. But would they have gone at him with the ferocity that they ended up going after him? They couldn't have. Because the public perception, which is all that they care about, the smearing of his name and the NFL's name, the repeated nature of them in the headlines, the Tony Busby stuff.
Is he having the press conference today?
I don't know.
I'm pretty positive he's having a press conference today.
But Busby is not out front doing radio interviews in Cleveland. It's over. He's not doing it.
He's having a press conference today.
But he doesn't do it. Well, now it doesn't matter. It's in the hands of other people now. It would have never gotten to this point. So that was a mistake. We can look back, and we've all made mistakes in assessing this. I thought the NFL was going to leave Sue Robinson's decision alone. I was being naive. I should have realized, like it was always in the back of my mind, that the NFL always gets what they want. They gauge the public perception. It was atrocious. It was worse than you could have imagined. It really was. There was nobody outside of Cleveland that had the Browns' back or Deshaun Watson's back. And nobody cares about the NFLPA, and they don't care about the owners. They don't care. National media people do not care about them in this case. They care about one thing. It was Deshaun Watson. And they didn't like, and this is bad. I don't agree with this. They don't like the way that it looked like the Browns tried to take a shortcut. That the Browns, who were never good, tried to take this desperate shortcut, pay him more than anybody else, give him guaranteed NBA contract money, and then we win all of a sudden. They don't like that. That looks like a shortcut. Even though how many other teams tried
Steve
to take
Ross
the shortcut?
Just got in trouble for trying to take the shortcut.
But remember, the Dolphins said what when they went after Watson? We'll do this trade. You got to settle your cases. The Browns were willing to do this on Deshaun Watson's terms. Unfortunately, Deshaun Watson's terms were based on his camp and whatever feedback he was getting, and I think it was bad feedback. I think it was bad. Sorry. Apologize.
But should he apologize for something he believes he didn't do? We don't know if he's hiding anything. I know that Mike Florio insinuated he was lying in what what was written in the decision.
I said that too.
She is insinuating that he was lying, which is like there is a difference between lying and not. He didn't go perjure.
She didn't even insinuate it. She said he lied.
Well, she didn't write lying.
What did she write?
All he said. She said dishonest. Categorically denies. I don't believe she wrote dishonest.
I'm gonna find it.
And then she said the remorse thing.
I gotta go get my
Kenny, I'm with you. If this was a vast conspiracy, and Alex Jones, because he's in the news, I'll use it. Of Alex Jones' vast conspiracy,
I'm staying away from that one.
Where everybody is just made it up completely, and I did not put myself or anybody or the teams I represent or my family. I didn't put them in harm's way. I didn't do anything wrong. It's a vast conspiracy. I get that. And he originally said that he was going to fight all of this to the very end to clear his name. Well, then he settled the cases. I think he finally got good advice. Then he settled the cases. But I'm just telling you that people that analyze this kind of stuff, especially in the criminal world, they will look at that behavior as sociopathic. They will say that many accusers, you clearly did something wrong, and now you won't admit it. That's sociopathic behavior. That's what sociopaths do. We weren't there.
I'm not gonna say all that.
We were not there. We can't say that. We can say what a judge said. Not that her word is gospel. It is within the NFL. It is gospel, except unfortunately the amount of games he was suspended.
Yeah.
So it's hard. It's absolutely hard. Owen, were you able to find those words?
I'm looking for them.
He's still looking. He's scrolling.
Well, the word erection's in here a bunch.
Okay.
Oh, so yeah, you keep getting tripped up. Yeah. Okay. Second thing is, can I take a little umbrage with you here?
Go ahead.
We're brought to you by Extend, by the way. So you went. So I revealed a deep dark secret of mine, and I have several. I revealed a deep dark secret of mine on Tuesday. I got a little bit of a problem with your decision that you're making here, because I opened up to people, and I have received several great messages, and I'm thankful for those messages. You're very, very nice. All you people, which people think I'm like, I'm dieting or something like that. And I go, no, I've worked out the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm doing. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But I'm working out. I had a chocolate muffin earlier today. I have to get to the diet part of things, I understand. But we're at the workout phase for the first 2 years of things. Either way, thank you very much. And it still kept going. Oh, I didn't tell you. You know, I told you the horror story of my headphones dying.
Yeah.
They died on me yesterday. The only thing
that's an immediate ejection.
Left them on.
I go home immediately.
I didn't.
That's the end of the workout.
I finished the whole
hour.
So
you cleared that hurdle. You've been able to do it.
I got on the bike 7 minutes in. I had to do 53.
So now you can do anything.
Effing minutes. No, I've done it before.
Then you're good. That is a huge step forward.
Listening to my own wheezing is torture. It is absolutely because you feel like you're more tired than you actually are.
I think that is a huge hurdle.
Because all you can hear is yourself breathing.
I remember having to do that in the basement of the Tremont Lofts in sub-degree weather outside.
Oh, my God.
And then what happens is your mind plays tricks on you.
Yep.
And the TV, you go, I wish the TV was off. I can't read the headlines because that's all every TV station is during the middle of the day is headlines, headlines, headlines. So I'm running, trying to make sure I'm not falling. I'm trying to do intervals, going at different paces, going up to 8.5, 9.5, 10.5, 8.5, 7.5, 6.5, 5.5, 7.5, 8.5, 9.5. Meanwhile, it's headlines. This guy's getting arrested. This guy's in court. This guy's injured. ACL tear. And your mind starts going in a thousand different... Oh, and do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Your mind goes into a thousand different directions. Then somebody walks in. Nobody's supposed to walk in. Why is somebody walking in? They're turning the channel. What are they doing turning the channel? I'm still running. I'm still doing intervals. I'm still going up. I'm still going down. When is this over? I look at the watch. I finally looked at my watch. Oh, I've only been here 10 minutes. I still have 30 more minutes left. This is atrocious.
Yeah.
And it is a mind you know
does
what.
Sarah Ono, does she when she ran marathons, and I'm sure she will again, can you listen to music while running a
they
marathon?
Do. Yeah, they do now.
Okay, because I was like, I wonder if they have to like listen to their breathing and make sure they're like, because I'm sure there's a rhythmic.
Am I not breathing?
No, they have.
Did I stop breathing?
Every Garmin, every whatever watch they have, monitors almost everything now.
Do they time it? So when I had to run for a test every year in the military to be able to still be in the military, right? And I had to run it 2 miles and under a certain time. I would actually pick songs that had a beat that made me run faster.
Yes.
Do they do that kind of stuff?
So I did that in the Crocker Park 5K against my pregnant wife. She beat me.
That she beat you in. I would pick faster songs.
I put on, you guys can make fun of me, because I know that's all we do is make fun of music. I put on a Macklemore song.
Okay.
A pump up Macklemore song. I can't remember.
City Can't Hold Us. Yeah.
And I got to it.
Macklemore.
The song finished. The song finished, and I fell apart. Because then I replayed it, and then I started thinking, I just heard this song.
You know what song I always played to help me run faster? Benny Hill theme. You would run amazingly fast.
Well, yeah, but you were chasing. You were chasing
something.
I have
three different mixes. You want to hear them?
Go ahead.
So I'm going to and you want me to open up the kimono even further? Yes. I haven't actually got to you about my problem with it yet.
Yeah,
this is great.
We're stalling.
Remember this one. So in my playlist, I have several playlists. I have a mowing playlist. I have a driving playlist. I have a polka playlist. I have Sunday morning.
Your mower's not too loud?
Oh, my mower is very loud. I have noise canceling headphones.
Oh, good call.
I got a 90s mix. I got my polka playlist is Who Stole the Kishka.
That's the only song in it?
Three of those. And one is it's so stereotypical. No Easy Way Out.
I have it. I have it on my thread.
Gonna Fly Now, the Bill Conti.
No easy way out.
Never say die, Iron Eagle. Never surrender. It also has, let's see, Bricks by Migos.
Okay.
Came Down by Al Fats. That was the cut back in the day. Don't even deny it. Several Metallica songs. Some Guns N' Roses here.
Just
more
saying anger over and over again.
Guns N' Roses, You Can Be Mine. Godsmack.
Which one?
I like Godsmack.
Which Godsmack?
Keep Away. There's a few others.
In my old lifting days back in college, we had a lot of that. A lot of that on the stereo.
Pantera, Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah, I actually know that song.
And I think it's the end of Domination. I want to say at the end of Domination because they play there's this riff and it sounds like a car. You're revving the engine, and I like that at the end. It always helps on the elliptical. Rob Zombie, whichever. I didn't realize how many people hate Rob Zombie.
The Howard Stern song?
No, maybe.
His open for years was Rob Zombie.
I don't remember.
I got Dracula, I got Thunder Kiss 65, which I think is
that's
White Zombie,
sir.
ACDC.
Yeah.
I got the Magnum P.I. theme.
Oh my God!
I do that. That's on my mustache growing playlist.
That is great.
I have the Beady Boo from the Super Troopers.
Yeah.
I have Boneless by Steve Aoki.
Okay.
Motley Crue.
Which
Sammy
one is
Hagar.
Which one is Boneless?
That's
bump bump bump.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know any of the names of any EDM songs. I just
Real American. I have Brock Lesnar's entrance music.
Is that any good?
Yeah, oh, that's a good song.
Oh, that one starts off good.
And people pop for it, when the song plays, everybody stands up, they go nuts.
Well, that's why Stone Cold had glass crash.
Well, that is one of the things. A really good entrance song, if the Undertaker was doing a run in or a surprise, it's kind of hard with a dun.
You can't do it. Yeah.
If you knew he was coming, then it makes your hair stand.
But that's why they
air.
Made Kane's be so similar, yes. But. It really hits hard
exactly.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah. But when Stone Cold, somebody be out there talking trash about Stone Cold Steve Austin, then you hear the psh, and people go nuts. And so anybody's out there talking about Brock Lesnar.
Jim Johnson?
Yeah, that was Jim Johnson. I think this one's just the end. No, this might still be Jim Johnson, Brock Lesnar. He's been around for a long time.
What a great composer.
Oh, God, yeah. It's Jim Johnston.
Stun.
John Stun, yes. And someone would be out there talking about they're cutting a promo on Brock Lesnar, and then you hear a and people go nuts because they know he's going to come out and it's going to be scary. Anyway, and then I have another mix. I have three mixes. The second one is very heavy rap, very heavy hip hop.
Give me all of them.
Very strong hip hop. A lot of Bone Thugs.
Yay, 3-6 Mafia. In there.
Yes, I have 3-6 Mafia here.
Which one?
I can't really say
Tear the Club Up. 97.
That was featuring the Tear the Club Up.
It's basically the whole Tear the Club Up.
Tear the Club Up. 1997.
I mean, we're talking Project Pat.
Mafia.
Holy
Crunchy
Grail
Black
by Jay-Z.
Was still in there.
Mm-hmm. Holy Grail by Jay-Z and Justin Timberlake is right next to some Tear the Club Up, folks.
Those are great songs.
Let's see, and then the third one.
Rest of the album. Oh, no, I was thinking of Blank in Paris.
The third one
is...
Rest of the album wasn't good.
That is the Watch the Throne album.
I got some Tom Petty. I got some Fleetwood Mac. Doobie Brothers. Bob Seger.
Oh, my God. We have
and there
so
was
different.
One song, there was one song, right after my mom died, I was on the bike. And, it made me think of my mom. I was getting really emotional during it. I don't even want to bring it up again. Running on empty makes me think of my dad. I mean, it's like a Jackson Brown thing. My dad's still with us, but you get what I'm saying. So, yeah, there you go. But, oh, Can't You See by Marshall Tucker Band is the song that makes me sad about my mom. Anyway.
Owen didn't get to his list.
What's your list?
I don't have a list.
Oh.
What?
Let me tell you why I'm upset.
I'll work out any time, any place.
So I've opened up my soul, bore my soul to everybody.
It was impressive.
You went downstairs, worked out, and you're not going to use that gym. And I'm like,
You should have saw him, too. Right after the podcast, I went down there, and he's flexing. The Goon Squad t-shirt
I had the Goon
on.
Squad, yeah. Old shirts are terrible.
You got to use that gym now. You really
Okay, can I tell you what happened? So I went down there, and they have 5s, 10s, 15s, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50.
All the 5
Okay, and then they have one machine for abs, one for shoulders, one for chest, one for lats. That's it. And they had two yoga mats. I mean, I could bring my own yoga mat and lay on it, whatever, and then, you know, wipe it off every time. And then they had no drinking fountain. Okay, that's a problem. I don't feel like lugging my water again.
I think that we're past drinking fountains. It's 2022. We're still in COVID here.
We can have, there is a water spout outside. I can have them run a hose in for you.
Okay.
You know, like I did.
Okay, so there are some limitations. Now, the good part of it is, I think there were 5 treadmills. They had an elliptical.
Yeah.
The 5 treadmills, and when I would go, I saw, though, at lunch, people were coming in. The issue was, there was one woman lifting. She's probably, I had her at maybe 33 years old.
Okay, that's good. Put a number on.
She was attractive,
you
I'll just say.
You might want to be careful with how we're describing people, because it is in the building.
That's
fine. Maybe some of them do listen.
Yeah. That's fine. Do you think one of the other team's owners who lives in the building?
If you're going to name names.
She's about 33, wasn't wearing much. She was right by the weights. So I felt like I was crowding her space. So I would take the weights and go really far away from her. And I was almost overcompensating. Like, then it was becoming obvious. I was getting out of the way.
And I actually went out on Huron Road to go lift the weights and walk back down the steps to put them back.
And the reality is, if she wasn't that good looking or if she was a lot older, I just wouldn't have cared. I would have been right in. But then she smelled good. So now I'm like, I smell terrible. I haven't even showered yet.
Ugh.
I didn't even shower that day.
God, that's gross.
And I was working out, and I'm like, she's smelling me. This isn't good. And then I'm like, this just isn't what I need. I'm not going to just work out the same exercises with these limited weights. I'm just going to go pay the money, drive down in the flats, and go where I go.
So now I've told everybody one of my deep dark
for
secrets no reason. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate what you've done for me here.
That was the first buy and tries I'd worked out in 3 weeks. I wasn't even sore, which means I didn't even get a good workout in. And and then you know what happened? Ted came in.
He had you cutting spots.
And he can no. What is Ted's role here? What do you call?
He's our
imaging.
Imaging production.
He's incredible at what he does. Everything you hear behind the scenes, but what you hear on the radio that he works on behind the scenes is incredible.
Yeah, what do you...
He was in there. He was on the treadmill. I kept looking at him.
You can't just tell people their business.
Well, I kept looking at him, and I don't want to start looking at people, and then I start staring.
Well, how do you think he got the name Sweaty Teddy?
This was not good. I had to get out of there.
I'm just going
to
say this.
Then I half-assed my workout. I only did like 45 minutes and I was gone.
Oh, God. What a half.
So it was a disaster.
So I have another problem here about the gym.
Go ahead.
Downstairs.
By the way, it's lit up. It's clean.
It's clean.
For some people, it's perfect. There was some guys in there. There were two guys in there that came afterwards. They were doing like Bosom Buddies working out.
Okay.
They were jacked. One dude was jacked, and I'm like, you can't only be getting jacked working out here. First of all, you're on steroids. You're too old to be on steroids. I could tell he had some other cosmetic things done.
Oh, okay.
Oh, lasers,
but I don't know if he got it where I've gotten stuff done, so I didn't want to say anything.
Implants.
I'm like, if he is that jacked, he can't only be working out here. This is not enough. And if he is, then boy, does he maximize what is available to him. And then I think about it. Guys were jacked in the 70s without all this equipment. Guys were on Venice Beach with that old ratty, at the time I'm sure it was state of the art, but that was not that good. And if they could get ripped, then I should be able to do it too.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do it there.
I can't believe you're not going to lift in my gym now after I said all that. I feel like you almost owe it to me. If we're sharing our
gripes, I'll do
here,
both then.
Before
fine.
I get to what I really wanted to talk about,
fine,
today,
I'll work out
no,
in both
you
places.
Won't. Shut up. Go to hell. I have a bit of a problem here. So I have to use the facilities down there because then I go and do the other job. And so I have to shower. The showering facilities are clean. There are 2 single showers. And then there's a
double showers.
Well, they're not that. They're for one person.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Because it's not like a big shower that you just go stand there and there can be multiple people in the room. They're shower stalls. And they each, it's weird, the curtain that they use does not really go the whole way.
No, it never does. They do that intentionally, let's be honest.
So you're not doing anything behind that curtain?
I think so. Yeah, I've thought about that.
I bet they can't have
mischief.
Yeah, I bet so. Well, this was my problem here. There's a third curtain, or there's a third shower stall, and it's wheelchair accessible.
We're doing a show down there.
Yeah.
I bet the acoustics.
We should take notes while they're showing. Go, I'm watching you too, buddy.
Then we're going to sing. We're going to sing show tunes.
So I'm having a bit of a problem here. There's somebody
the
there.
The Phantom of the Opera.
I don't know if I should say anything to him. I don't know if I should say anything to him, but I want to. Because you know me.
I've met you.
In the summertime.
Yeah.
I will take up to 4 showers a day.
That's amazing.
Now, they are not 10-minute showers. I can get in and out. Once the water warms up,
they're
I can
in,
get there.
You do a sachet. And
yeah. And I don't need warm water because it's hot outside, so I don't need to.
Are you going cold?
I will take a lit Blue Johnson
shower.
How do you do that?
I just got
used to it.
Midday showers for me are very much like
oh my God.
Room temperature.
I have taken a 55-degree Lyndon Johnson shower before.
I'm blown away by people that can do that. I think you're more mentally strong than I am.
Oh, no, I'm probably deranged. People take cold showers.
Well, it's
close to psychotic.
It's a cool-down period, though, too.
Could you do an ice bath?
Yeah, I could do that.
Oh, there's no way.
Yeah. We did it in high school football. That was back in high school.
See,
you
I didn't
do an ice bath.
I didn't
and I
do
sucked
it.
And they were still like, get in the ice bath.
Well, that's kind of weird. You didn't even play. You're not even on the team. Get in the ice bath.
Well, we do it after practice. We wouldn't do it after games. You do it after
practice. Hey, chess club, get over here. Ice bath.
Get in the ice bath. You over there. What are you doing? I'm walking down the street. Get in the ice bath. Take off all your clothes and get in the ice bath.
Well, the Perry ice bath.
This is our new awful bit when coming in hot's over.
The Perry ice bath house.
Get in the ice bath. 216-578. You're in the ice bath.
So my problem here is the first two showers have a lip on them. The third shower does not have a lip. And I
it's wheelchair accessible.
It's wheelchair accessible.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I noticed that right off the rip the first day I used that downstairs gym. And so I take the shower head and I point it towards the wall because I don't want effing water all over the floor. Well, now there's been a guy
and you're
who's been
slipping and sliding once you get out there.
I go in there and take a shower. The last shower, forget it. And now, like yesterday, I was like, it's a pullback here. I go, how long are your showers? And are you just taking the water and hosing down the floor? What are we doing?
People are so unaware. They have no idea.
I gotta get changed. I'm bashful. I'm an overweight 36-year-old man. And listen, if we're going to call it what it is, I don't care about my penis size anymore. I got 3 sons. I don't care.
Congratulations on all your success.
I've had some people think it was big. I've had some people think it was small. I've had some people think it was average. I don't care anymore. I don't need to make jokes anymore or anything like that. It doesn't matter to me anymore. Because once I had my children, it's like, I don't care. I don't care. That's the freeing thing you're going to have. I'm telling you, Tone, now that you're married, and as soon as that baby comes out, no more comparisons, nothing.
Do you ever think
it's total freedom?
Do you ever think about the mortician? They've seen everyone,
and that's why exactly.
My grandfather ran. That,
do they have a tally board? Do you think they have a tally for the big people in town?
Especially so, my grandpa did it in a town of 4,000 people, so he knew all the families. Right. Now he's going. Well, I've seen your kinfolk.
Very fulfilled, Mrs. Henderson.
I mean, what else do they have to talk about? That's going to be talked about.
So, anyway.
That's all I would talk about.
That's
I don't know.
Part of the reason I think that old men walk around in gyms and they're totally naked.
Why?
It's not just when they grew up and that generation did a lot of things naked. It's that I just don't care.
Well, I thought it was evolution and we're smaller now.
So I just don't care. Like when I was in when a guy's in their 20s and if there's women listening to this, I'm sorry. You guys know it's true. That men, all we talk about in our 20s is the size and all those things. And once you have kids, you just don't care anymore. So I'm thinking, if I make it to 70, I'm really not going to care anymore.
True.
I don't care. And
yeah,
I think about
guys
it
in public, too.
Yeah. It's like, there's big ones, there's little ones. If they
Something
work, they work. Who cares?
Sometimes your pants just fall off
in
Target.
Who cares?
What are you going to do?
One time I was going to the bathroom in a Macy's. in Belden Village. Mm,
go on.
And an old man opened up the door, and I'm like, I'm in here. The door's open. I go, I'm in here! And I'm screaming, and he, like, looks around the corner. He goes, oh. And I'm like, what are you doing? What the F are you doing? Anyway.
Yeah, so, some of my friends have very different bathroom run-ins when they get caught. Another question I have.
I'm getting back to the damn water.
I want to tell you about Ranger Joe at Berkshire. Rest in peace.
All right, go ahead. Tell
he was Ranger. He was in his late 70s. He was still around Rangering every day. He was eating chicken salad, getting chicken salad all over his mouth and everything. And he would
what
do...
What did he turn it into?
He would do the crisscross on his body. He would do the crisscross.
He didn't send me anything. Okay, go ahead.
He would do a picture. He would sit like this. What do you call this?
Just I have to read that all over again?
No, he's not going
to
read it.
Well, it's to prove my point.
He just wants to be right. So,
are you kidding me?
When
we're talking about showers over here.
Well, we can't say that word then.
Okay, what word were you looking for real quick?
I said that she called him a liar in the
used a different word.
Oh, here we go.
No, I said I had to scroll through erection many times. I knew it was the paragraph had it.
I said, but she never called him a liar. She says it's difficult.
She basically says at the beginning that he testified that he never had any erections.
Well, you just said basically. Okay.
And then at the end, I'm paraphrasing. And then at the end, she says, Mr. Watson's use of towels, his focus points, and the not uncommon experience of massage therapists to have contact with the erect penis of their male clients leads to support my conclusion that it is more probable than not that Mr. Watson did have erections and that his penis contacted the therapist as claimed by them, a.k.a. liar, liar, pants on fire.
Well, I'm not going to insinuate that. If anybody wanted to read that, do that, that's fine. That's up to them. That's their call. I'm not going to do it. Can we get back to the shower?
Now back to the shower.
Okay.
Well, I want to tell you about Ranger Joe and his crisscross.
Nobody cares.
And at a very young age, you get indoctrinated that men just out of their baggy shorts, everything is just visible while he's eating his chicken salad and he's talking about where the groups are, making the turn and
of course,
how he has, and you could see it all. And finally, we'd all talked about it.
I can't tell that story on air. I wish I could. Owen knows exactly what I'm thinking about when you can see
I know
all
who,
finally,
yeah.
I go, hey, Joe, we got golfers here. Can you just kind of tighten it up a little bit? He goes, who cares? Who cares? I'm an old man. They've all seen it before. And that was it. I never said anything else to him. Now, what am I going to say? He didn't care.
Oh, God, I wish I could share this story, and I can't now.
When I was especially my last station in the Air Force, I was in Little Rock, Arkansas for 7 years. That gym, very nice gym, new gym. It was opened up to veterans.
Bare ass naked.
World War II veterans coming in and using it. And the main thing they used, and my favorite thing to do at the end of a nice long workout, we had a big sauna, big room sauna, you know, three times the size of these two rooms combined.
Old
right?
men love saunas,
and
too.
I was always in your shorts, right? Going in your gym shorts, right? Not them. Not even with a towel around.
No.
They were just coming in.
No.
Bare assing onto the tiles.
That's gross, man.
They don't care.
That's gross.
They ended up, so that was, it was a wet sauna, right? So it'd get super foggy in there. And then as the time elapsed and it started to clear out again, or someone would open the door and all of the steam would roll out. And then finally, my last year there, they decided we're tearing this thing out and we're putting in the dry heat sauna. But it was a small box, so a lot of people couldn't come in anymore.
That's
and it
good.
Was nice.
Our generation won't do that. No. Even though we get older,
we're
not raised
more
that way.
This generation, yes. But what I'm saying is that now the whole back corner is just a lake. And I'm like, I have to take a shower, right and back. Now I can't use the big bench, so I have to use the middle shower.
Yep.
And like, guys, I'm in there for that shower after working out. I'm in there for 3 minutes, if that. And it's like, God, I got to do all this work and tippy-toeing around, and I don't want to go in his shower water because it's gross.
Right.
It's like, dude, point the freaking shower head at the wall and then turn it around. You can use that and do that. It's ridiculous. So that's just my problem with it. That's all I'm going to say. And now I feel too exposed because now you're not even going to work out in that gym. It's a problem I have. Which Hilbert asked, excuse me, Cookie Pie asked. He goes, is there fresh underwear every shower? Like, yeah, you nasty ass. You think I'm not changing my underwear? I almost threw up while reading that. It was disgusting. He's like, that's a lot to wash every day. Yeah, that's why Liz does a lot of laundry.
You don't do the smell test?
No, dude, that's gross. Don't even do that.
But you're not doing your own laundry.
I don't care.
That's what I'm saying. It's easier for
you. I think my wife would be so... Could you imagine me trying to ask my wife for sex and I was wearing the same underwear that I worked out in? Are you nuts? I think she'd rather just me change my underwear.
Do you not...
Do any of that? You got... Seriously, for the health of your relationship, you need to bathe and take care of yourself a little bit more, because you're going to get to a level like... You guys are still in this weird phase. I know you're married and having kids.
Yeah.
And you're just having kids.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just met each other, for crying out loud.
That's really all we're doing, really.
There's going to be a time where it's like,
let's be honest, that's what we're doing. We're having kids.
I will hammer down farts in the garage. I have gone out and hammered down farts in the garage. I can say that on the podcast.
Yeah.
Hammered down farts in the garage and walked back in. Because if we're going to have sex later, I don't want her to smell that. I don't want her to hear that.
I've got to stop the belching. I've forgotten that I'm belching.
That's disgusting, too. I brush my teeth before we do these things. I don't want her to have... Look, I know what I look like, and I don't look great.
You feel fortunate to be in that position,
And I do think about this, and I've said it before as a joke, but I mean it. If I was looking up at me making faces, I'd be disgusted. So I know that she means well, and she must very much love me. I'd like to make this as nice of a situation as possible for her, is what I'm... My phone is lighting up right now. I cannot imagine. So you just take my advice and just... Take care of yourself a little bit better there. Can I do my Youngstown thing yet?
Go ahead.
Another question. This podcast might run a little long. I'm sorry to do this to you. I have a problem where I've not paid for audio yet, and I'm going to probably have to because I want to listen to the end of this.
The future.
Youngstown podcast. Because we don't charge for any of that stuff.
We never will, by the way. Unless we both get fired, and then we need the money.
Yeah, that's why I'm not ripping people for charging.
We will come back and beg for your money.
That's why I'm not ripping people for charging. But it's like, man, I pay for Netflix, I pay for all these things, and I'm a radio guy. Do I really? But I want to listen to the rest of this podcast, because it's done by... Now, Mark Smerling is a documentarian. So it's like, all right. You know, I get the final 10 episodes. I'll just give them 5 bucks.
They were very clever how they gave you 3 to get you going.
He did this podcast called Crime Town, and they did Providence, Rhode Island, and they did Detroit, Michigan. And the first time when I saw it, I go, man, they got to do Youngstown at some point. Well, that podcast is no longer around, or it's around, but they don't renew it anymore. It's not for another season. And he looks like he split off. And he's doing this podcast, this different podcast, and it's about Youngstown. And there's a lot of mob stuff in Youngstown, a lot of things that it's kind of wrong to be proud of, like some of the mob actions or things like that. But I sat there and I thought, because Owen's lived in big air, like a big geographical, like he's lived in South Korea, he's from Oklahoma, he's lived in Alaska, he's lived in Little Rock, Arkansas. He's from all over the world there. So Owen's space is basically too big. Yours is basically too small. Mm-hmm. You're from Chesterland.
Yes.
And I know you lived in D.C. as a grad student or whatever and all that stuff. For me, it gave me... You know, it dawns on me. It gives me a little bit of a sense of pride because I'm from Canton, and there's this weird, I can't even explain it. Like, I'm very proud that, like, my grandfather saw Cleveland as like Paris. He really did. I mean, it was a major city. My grandfather was born in Indiana on a farm. Like, on the farm is where he was born. And I've told that story a bunch where he was very excited and very emotional when I got the job in Cleveland, because Cleveland to him is still the...
You said Paris at one point.
Yeah, still the fourth or fifth biggest city in the country. And that was in 2011 to him. Yeah. That's how he saw things. And for them, and for me, it was a big deal. But I have this point of pride where it's like, okay, I'm connected to Cleveland because I work in Cleveland, and I don't think I'll ever leave. And at least not by my own decision. And I'm born in Canton. So that's the 77 connection to the top and the bottom of Northeast Ohio. My wife is from Youngstown. I was married in Youngstown. I went to school at Akron. Now, of the four cities, my weakest connection, I would still say, would be Akron, I have to admit. I'm from Canton. I was married in Youngstown. My children were born in Cleveland. And their grandfather lives in Canton, Ohio, and their grandparents live in Youngstown, Ohio, in Canfield, right? And I just started thinking about it. I was like, that, to me, is really, really cool, because now I have this big triangle of Northeast Ohio that really, no matter what, and it's not an act, involves my family. Cleveland, I work here. You know, we are public figures in this case. So it feels like I do have some responsibility to this city, and it's the same thing with Canton. It's the same thing with Youngstown, because my children, their grandparents lived there. I was married there, the whole thing. And then I started thinking about Youngstown, and this is a weird thing. Like, when I say I really like Youngstown, people don't believe it. And I you've been fascinated by mm-hmm. my infatuation with Youngstown.
And I had a lot of friends from Youngstown, but the burbs.
Yeah.
At Ohio State.
But it's still, what I like so much about Youngstown, it's like a smaller Cleveland. It's very diverse. There's a ton of ethnicities.
Yes.
I didn't get
Irish
this,
over here, the Italian over here.
And I didn't get that really in Canton. Mm-hmm. I did not get that. It's a lot of, I mean, you have your Jewish community in Canton, but it's usually white Anglo-Saxon, you know. That, you know, African American, that, but it's not like, hey, this guy's Italian, hey, this guy's German, hey, these guys are Irish. It's not like that, like it is up here. And it's like that in Youngstown, and I always thought that was really cool. And the reason I'm listening to this podcast, and it's bringing in all these emotions and these memories.
And an attempt to get our radio station, what's the term?
What?
Try to get us syndicated there.
What do you mean?
Well, we should be there. We should be on the air in Youngstown.
Oh, yeah. I wish we could. Well, there's another city I'd like to be syndicated mm-hmm. into, but we'll see how that works. I've always enjoyed it, just because this is going to sound so... I don't want to pander. But I think in Youngstown, like, I support... It's hard for me to get the words here. In Canton, for a long time, I was disappointed, because it felt like Canton had kind of given up. And it was like, okay, even though they've been through the ringer with this, and there's been some people who seem to support this Hall of Fame village, not the best intentions. Mm-hmm. That's why I support this Hall of Fame village, because I really want to see it come.
It's awesome.
Take
it
off
is and, awesome and, for them.
And get off the ground and really come to life, because with Youngstown, Youngstown has every reason to give up. It has more reasons to give up than Canton and Cleveland. With how it was used, I didn't realize that 50,000 jobs were lost in the course of just a few years.
Crazy.
In the late 1970s. I knew the Youngstown sheet and tube story in Black Monday. I'd heard that story. I was told that story from Liz's family members, and how dark a day that really was. I didn't know it was over the course of time. It wasn't just Youngstown sheet and tube. It was all these other companies. And it was a job loss of 50,000 people. And you think about that, that's 50,000 jobs. That's 50,000... husbands and wives, plus their children. So you lose this huge population. And with Youngstown, the hits just keep on coming. You know, the Lordstown GM plant, and that's been through it a bunch of times. And what I like about the people is that they've just never given up. Like, to what they have in Niles with Eastwood Field, they still have the mall, and they still try. And it does. It means a lot, because you see these economically depressed areas in other parts of the country, and it's just like, well, this is what it is. And Youngstown people are, you know, we say they're defensive, but they're very, very proud. And I don't think they're proud of their plight. I think they're proud that they fight what has happened. They fight that they've been, I think, marginalized by big business at times.
100%.
Or not even at times, but throughout their history since you and I have been alive, certainly, and before that. Like, they bring up the Covelli Center. Like, you go to downtown Youngstown, you see this great, great arena, and they really, they do. They try to make it nice. And I just, it means a lot, because a prideful community, if you still have pride in the community, you still have a chance. And that's what scared me about Canton. Hmm. And it just means a lot to me. Like, there are people from all these areas. There are well-to-do communities around Canton, Cleveland, Youngstown, right? Let's leave it to those three. I could say Akron too, fine. Sure. Throw that. There's well-to-do communities, but there's also, like in Youngstown, there's very successful people, but you've known they've had to work really hard to be successful. It's like, it's almost first generation money all over again. It's not like Cleveland has a lot of history and there are big last names in our city here, but in Youngstown, it's like, it's almost re-blossoming again. So there's new last names that are starting to come around. I mean, you have the Covellis and the Cafaros, but you also have these new names that are coming in. So it's almost like you're seeing a rebirth for some families. And I think it's really cool. And for me, it's like a lesson to be learned that the children can be passed on to, like, okay, they're my sons. I'm from Canton, so there's the Canton addition to that. And then I work in Cleveland, which means that they will spend a lot of time in Cleveland. And there's a lot of strong toughness in Cleveland. But Cleveland also has major league sports. They have major, major, major business. And then there's Youngstown there, which everybody and their brother has basically snuffed out mm-hmm. in the course of history. And it's like they've had to be really tough. And it does give me a lot of pride that my sons, I don't know what they're going to do in their future, obviously, but there has to be some connection there with that area.
But you're going to have to educate them.
Yeah.
And you're because, you know, all my buddies that were from the Youngstown area, they went to Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then they all dispersed to other cities, not Youngstown.
Yeah. Oh, that's
not
and,
Youngstown.
And that's,
Cleveland,
that
Columbus,
yes.
LA, New York.
But there is a thing about knowing what it means to be either to have a father who's lost a job mm-hmm. or to know what it's like to struggle, to know what it's like to come up out of that. It's a pride. Again, every city has things to be proud of, and every city has things. Sit there and talk about Youngstown and some of the mob ties. Like, I don't want to sit there and talk about Youngstown as if it's like, I don't want to treat Youngstown like we do the Mansfield prison. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want it to become a mob tourism thing. You get what I'm
yeah,
saying? I wouldn't
totally
want
understand.
It to be if I were from Youngstown.
Yeah, be a caricature of just what it is, what its identity is, what it's been the history.
What people were willing to do to feed their families and to try to make a better life, even though it's not always glamorous. It's not always glamorous. It's seedy. But they had to do what they had to do, and out of that comes better people, harder working people. So that's just that's part of the reason why I really do. I adore that my family, part of my family, is from Youngstown by marriage, that my kids have Youngstown in their blood, that I do. I find a point of pride that I was married at a Catholic church in Youngstown, Ohio, by mm-hmm. one of the
that's cool.
guys from there. I mean, you can say whatever you want to about religion, but it's always like been a cool thing to me. I mean, I could sit there and name landmarks all day long, but I just always like how proud those people were.
Well, the reality is we need to get syndicated there, and that's what the last hour of this show has been about, getting syndicated in Youngstown. Somebody make it happen. We'll call it the Jim Trafficant Radio Hour. I don't care. Get us into Youngstown where we belong.
I should have left that as a walk-off. I'm sorry. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the show?
No.
There's nothing at all?
No.
Nothing else
settle.
You'd like to say.
Settle the cases. Settle everything. Settle with the NFLPA. Settle with Sue. Settle with Goodell. Settle with Robert Kraft. I don't care. Make it happen. Get this thing over with. I'm done. We don't want to talk about it every day.
Why am I getting Dan Wolkin texts?
That's one of the dumbest things
tweets.
I've ever seen.
What
I saw
that?
It too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.